When I was in Alabama visiting my brother a number of years ago, I went to the Civil Rights Museum there in Alabama, in Birmingham, where my brother lives. And I saw a short video, and it touched my heart so deeply. It moved my heart, and it was a video on the Freedom Riders. Do you remember during the Civil Rights time, the Freedom Riders were the blacks that dared to sit at the front of the bus, you know? When they stopped at the bus stations, they would get out and they would be beaten. But there were white people that chose to ride those buses with them. And it broke my heart as I'm watching this. They even had a bus in there from the Freedom Rider days. And it moved my heart. The question was, would I have been one of those people? Would I have been willing? So we're facing these days where it matters where we stand. It really does. This is a wonderful verse I want to read to you. I want to spend just a few minutes, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. Graham and I switched places. Like, we discovered that we put in our calendars a wedding for this weekend, but the wedding was actually last weekend. So I got in touch with Graham and said, Graham, can we switch, you know? And Graham was all set to preach on this date, and I was supposed to preach last week. And yeah, so he would have been preaching on this, his 45th wedding anniversary, I think. We might... Judith, where's Judith? We might say more about that after, so let's put that on hold for a minute. What I've prepared is something that I believe all of us can kind of lay hold of, because marriage is a picture that speaks volumes. It really does. It speaks volumes. And so I want to use marriage as a picture that speaks the heart of God and what He's doing in this hour all over the earth. So I want to use marriage as a picture, but I want to talk about what God's doing. I'll read this fantastic verse or verses from the Message from Ephesians chapter 5. It says, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as, just as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything He does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. Our theme song, Valerie and I's theme song, is Amazing Grace. Our marriage theme song is Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead you home. And if Valerie hops up in a couple of minutes, you're going to hear from her, because we have not lived the perfect marriage by no stretch of the imagination. But what I wanted to say right off the bat is that grace, amazing grace, is the banner over our lives, every single one of our lives. We are broken people in a broken, fallen world, and His grace is the banner over our lives. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So I am just sick of the enemy taking advantage of people. We are broken people. If your marriage broke, you are under the banner of amazing grace. You know, if you failed morally and in any other way, and you have repented and God's blood has washed you and cleansed you, you live under the grace of God, the amazing banner of God's grace. I wanted to say that because the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. I got that highlighted on my nose. And this not of yourselves. I am a fan in this day of that phrase. And if I didn't say anything else this morning, you're getting the price of admission right here in this verse, right here. It's, this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You know, it's taken me a long time to understand the scripture where Jesus speaks, and John records it, where He says that without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. It's taken me a long time to kind of understand what that verse means and what that means. But it is absolutely true. And we're living in an hour where we're seeing what God can do. We're seeing what God can do. There's a lift. I can't get over the number of areas that there's a lift. There was a lift on this camp. There was a lift on this camp. And so God wants us to give Him the credit, not by your own doing. The Bible says it's because of Him that we are in Christ Jesus. It is not by our doing. And so there's a musical term, and you all know I can't sing and I can't carry a tune, but I can read about music. The word staccato comes from an Italian word meaning detached or disconnected. This is very interesting. So a staccato note is just this thing where you just plunk down on the key, right? And that's it. It's detached and disconnected. In the context of music, it means that you should play the note sharply, short, and completely detached from the notes before it or after it. But you see, when God created the world, He did not use a staccato note. He used a sustained note. The sustained note is the note where you push the key, and I guess you use the pedal. So the sustained note is to hold or to sustain a note, to hold it or sustain it. And this is what he did when he created. When it says that God created the heavens and the earth, he not only creates, he sustains what he creates. So listen to this. Colossians 1, 16, 17 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Hold together. There's a picture of what happens when we hold on to things and a shaking comes. You know, have you ever seen that kind of illustrated where if you're holding on to something, doesn't matter what you're holding on to, then say I'm holding on to, I'm possessive of you. Is this your wallet? I'm going to hold on to this. Now you're going to shake that, okay? Just like with two hands, just shake that. I mean shake it. Okay. But if I'm holding on to you, if I'm holding on to you and you begin to shake, you're going to use your imaginations and understand that if we're holding on to the Lord, that's it. Yeah. I'm holding on to the Lord. You shake. Go ahead and shake it. Can you see that? So as he shakes everything, if we're holding on to him, we will not be shaken by what he shakes. And he is shaking. He is shaking. So four things the Lord loves. I want to give you four things that the Lord loves, okay? He loves a lot of things, but he loves these four things. He loves unity, he loves love, he loves forgiveness, and he loves commitment. And I want to just really briefly touch on these. First of all, unity. Unity is something that's becoming very visible across the earth. Now, it's also very noticeable where it doesn't exist. It's very noticeable. In fact, it's like, when a light is shone on something, it's visible, right? And so both are occurring. There was a guy riding in the car. This is the illustration. Two guys are riding in a car. This is a true story. I just have to get the details right. They're riding in a car together, and one guy begins to diss Billy Graham. And the other brother turns to him, and he says, I don't receive that. It was just like that, just a change. I mean, where do you go from there? It was just quiet after that. You see, visible unity is the most beautiful thing, and it's coming to the earth right now. It's coming to the earth. I'm living it. I'm seeing it in our city. I sat with a Korean brother. His name is Young. He's a young guy, but his name is also Young. So I get together with Young now for coffee, and I'm realizing that the depth of relationships that God is calling for are greater than anything we've seen before. That there are going to be winds and storms that blow upon these relationships, but these relationships will remain intact because of what God is doing in the area of unity. His heart is for unity. In fact, in Proverbs 6, it says that God hates six things. So listen to this. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that run swiftly to evil, a false witness who gives false testimony, and the one who stirs up discord among the brothers. Stirs up discord among the brothers. So God loves unity. If you want to align yourself with heaven and you want the blessings of heaven, choose unity wherever you can. Wherever you can. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love unity. They live in unity. They breathe in unity. They love unity. So choose unity wherever you can. And the second one is love. God loves love. And it says, go all out, go all out. It says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. This will be the visible kind of love that's visiting the earth. This is a visible love here. I love this community. I really do. I love this community and the DNA that's in this community and what God has put here and the love that's here, the love that is in the atmosphere. We hear it all the time. People coming in those doors, they're sometimes just in the foyer and they're speaking about something of the DNA of this place. They catch it right off the bat, right in the foyer. And we thank God for that because it's his DNA. It's by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You know, these are difficult things and they will not be accomplished outside of the grace of God. You and I cannot do these things. We cannot do these things, nor can we take credit for them. If God chose to pull out of our lives what he's put in our lives, we're like an empty shell. I've seen empty shells in my life. I've seen buildings where the Holy Spirit was allowed to move powerfully, and then he was kicked out, and I saw an empty shell, an empty shell. You know, you can have a beautiful building that's an empty shell if you've kicked the Holy Spirit out of it. So marriage has not been easy. We're coming up to 40. We'll always be behind these guys. You know, we're not going to catch up to the 45. But Valerie, come on up and just share something. Because I know she doesn't like to do this, but there's a grace on her and a vulnerability and an honesty that's important that we bring to one another so that we don't pretend that it's an easy road that we're walking. But we don't walk it alone.
This will probably be short. So what happens when you live with someone who's the exact opposite? Without humility, there's conflict. So I just have one little instance in our marriage that happened, you know, a long time ago. But it is about the Lord and what he did in me with this one verse, a simple little verse. So I'm going to turn to Proverbs 14. I have this memorized, but just in case. I was reading this, and it says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands." And it just struck me because I knew I was critical of Chuck. Like, this was decades ago when, I mean, but it was like a spirit of criticism because no matter what he did, you know, my pride would always think I'm right, you know, hard to imagine. But when that verse I read, it was more than just words. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me something. And I had to, well, I repented because I knew it was there. I didn't know how to get free of it. I remember even in line, like at conferences and stuff, Chuck would be talking to someone and, you know, some guy who turned to me and says, "You've got such a good man." I'm going, "You don't know." But I thought, you know, the Lord was just like, I knew in my heart, I knew he was a good man. But when you're walking out things, you know, like simple little things are irritating. But we've come a long way. I'm not there anymore. I would ask people, you know, pray for me, deliver me from this spirit of criticism. And part of it was a behavior. Part of it could have been generational, you know, anyway. And part of it was from my own hurts. You know, when you're afraid or you're rejected, you know, you try to protect that, eh, and or yourself. But anyway, so that was my verse. Yeah, and one more thing is, like, my, not my focus, but what comes to me all the time is mindsets, you know, like, how are we to deal with mindsets? They're so, you know, the society we live in, how do we protect our kids from things that are not true, you know? But in John, there's a verse, it says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so that's what this verse did for me. It was the beginning of a journey about being set free from being critical.
One thing I like to say about marriage is that you should never plateau in a marriage. You should always be going higher in the marriage. And that takes a lot of intentionality. And it just is definitely, yeah, it needs, and it takes humility and it takes the repentance of pride. The Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. Some of you have heard the story of me inheriting a car from my cousin Michelle, and I'm over getting the car, and I'm sitting in the car, and I'm trying to start the car, and it's turning over really strongly, but it's not starting. And I spent 1 hour in that car with the Holy Spirit, you know, searching my heart. And it's a long story, and I'll just tell you that much, that in that time, he reminded me of some things that had occurred just even the night before and some attitudes that had entered into my heart that I just let rest there. I just let them stay there, and they're just banging around in my heart, you know. And for an hour, I tried to start this car, and I couldn't, and the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and I'm taking these things, and I'm repenting and asking the Lord's forgiveness and lifting them out of my heart, out of my heart. You know, my life scripture is Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life." Everything comes out of this heart. I have this habit, if I get offended, that person gets out as quickly as they offend me. You know, I'm getting really quick at this and really good at it because I don't want that offense. I don't want that person in a cage in my heart that I can beat up every once in a while when I call them to memory. And you know what that's like. We all do. When we keep them in cages in our hearts, we have not forgiven them. We may have used our lips to forgive them, but we have not forgiven, the Bible says, from your heart. I get right in there with my hands and I lift them right out. I mean, you offend me, you get prayed for. So there you go. If you're lacking prayer, just offend me, you know, just do something. But after 1 hour, After 1 hour of the Holy Spirit searching my heart, I discovered that the key I was using, I never knew this, but there are keys, they have chips in them or something like that, and there's a key that'll open your door, but it will not start your engine. Do you know that? There, the keys were back in the house, and I went back in, found those keys, went, and the engine started like that. After 1 hour. So, the Bible says that it matters how we treat one another. Many, many portions of scriptures talk about how it matters how we treat one another. And what I love for husbands is taken from 1 Peter 3:7, and it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. I got a great translation here too. So it says, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now, Val's never had a problem being petite and weak, and you know, she never, you know, it's never been offensive to her. But some people do have a problem with this verse. But treat them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Another translation says, treat your wives with considerations as a delicate vessel. As a delicate vessel. So that your prayers be not hindered. How we treat one another matters, and it affects our prayer life. The Bible even goes on to say, it says that if we regard iniquity, sin in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And I told you the story, I think we were outside, I started to tell the story when we had our outdoor service about the two brothers that I knew, and the one forgave the other. I remember I was with him when he says, I forgive, and he said the man's name. But the other brother who had the offense against this guy refused to forgive. And I went back to Bible college. I was reading in the Lord's Prayer, and the only thing it goes back to talk about after the Lord's Prayer is forgiveness. And it says that if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And so I saw that this brother was in sin. He might call himself a Christian. He might try to live like a Christian. He might even have Bible study or quiet times. But the Bible says if you refuse to forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. So forgiveness is Christianity 101. I challenge you, though, especially if there's things you're holding on to that go back a ways. And when you bring them up, the emotion's still there, you know, and or the attitude is still there, you know. And I would challenge you to spend some time with the Lord. I mean, we're reading through Lorne Cunningham's book. Some of you in the congregation are reading it. And is that really you, God? And Lorne Cunningham spent 7 days fasting and praying, and the Lord began to move on his heart and reveal things in his heart. God used that as a foundation for something that touched the world afterwards. So pay attention to your heart. The fourth one is commitment. And last week I was at a wedding, and I never tire of seeing young couples choose marriage. I never tire of that. You know, many of the couples that I've officiated at have lived together, some for like 10 years. You know, there were two brothers that I think they were with their ladies for 10 years, and then they wanted to get married. What I say to them, this is what I say to them, I will officiate. I prefer that they're both believers, that's first. I talk to them about Jesus. But if they want to get married, I believe that marriage is something that God created, that's not man-made, so it's something that was God's idea to begin with. So if this young couple comes to me and says they want to get married, I have two requirements that I give. And if they say no, well, that's, and actually in one case, they did say no, and I didn't officiate at that wedding. Well, I was still invited to it, but anyway, that's another story. But I ask that I could, first of all, that in their vows, there be till death do us part, or something, you know, along those lines, right? It doesn't have to be the old English, but until death do us part, not till we fall out of love or anything like that. So till death do us part, and that they allow me to pray a blessing over their marriage, because I believe that it's God's idea. So commitment. We have had only one home church, and so I'm just inviting you into a little bit of our lives here for a second, but I've only had one home church my entire Christian life. So that's like almost 50 years. So almost 50 years, I've had only one home church. Now, we were sent out from this church, and we pastored two other places, two other locations, but we always came back, and each time it was by the laying on the hands. So I was raised with these brothers from the States that would come among us, and they really helped us to understand what a local church should look like. And they said that there really should only be two ways that you leave the local church. They said it's sent out or carried out. Okay, so I'm just letting you in on something here, because especially in these days, now I understand, and I'm so grateful that I feel like the body of Christ is more family than ever it has been in my life anyway. And we've had so many people come back and forth from the Bikers Church, and I just feel like they're such family. Like, we've really gotten to be blessed. I'm just picturing them right now, some of them, and even, you know, just the preciousness of their lives, and it's one family kind of going back and forth. But the idea of cancel culture has really infiltrated the church. It really has. Because when the going gets tough, you know, it's easy to get going, right? when the going gets tough. And so cancel culture has infiltrated the church, but the temptation to cancel will always be with us, okay? The temptation to cancel will always be with us. The phrase, I'm out of here, I have no need of you, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. I have no need of you. My friend Jean-Claude used to say to me every time he'd see me, he said, Chuck, I love you. I need you, and I'm not complete without you. I love you, I need you, and I'm not complete without you. Now remember, there's no condemnation, so don't start feeling any condemnation in this room. But the fact is that in the body of Christ, there is an increasing loyalty that's occurring, an increasing love that's coming. It's all on the increase. As we move towards this thing called the bride of Christ, it can only get better. It cannot get worse. The bride of Christ will be without spot or wrinkle. He's going to have a bride that loves one another. He's going to have a church based out of his prayer of John 17 that loves one another. So I had a brother one time, and he got in some trouble, and many people rejected him. And this often happens. And I said to him, because I'd learned this from one of Billy Graham's sons, I learned this, was that I said to my friend, I said, you were my friend before you fell, before this happened in your life, you were my friend. I said, you're my friend now. You're my friend now. And we walked together, and it was a beautiful, rich time and a beautiful experience. During COVID, I had two brothers that wanted to cancel me. I laugh at a lot of things now, you know, because I don't put up with them. I think that the one brother, I said, you need me. But I said, you need me. And he ended up not canceling me. The other brother wanted to cancel me, and I just loved on him. And we're the best friends now. And he's not here, by the way. He's but somewhere else. But cancel culture has definitely, you know, invaded the church. So that's about it. Sacrificial love, you know, that's what we're called to. Jesus exemplified that, and he calls us to that in marriage. He calls that he calls the body of Christ to a sacrificial love, to really love one another and care for one another. I love what the Lord's doing in your life. I love what he's doing in every single life. I love that the activity of the Holy Spirit is present in our lives. I love that there's this breeze that's coming. Start paying attention to it and give thanks for it when you see it. But when you see a bit of a liftoff, when you see something that you didn't sweat a lot for, you know, don't take credit for it. It's by his doing. It's by his doing. Where do we go from here? We got some beautiful things we want to do, you know. Like, I want to pray blessing on all of you. Father, I pray for everyone in this room. I thank you for the journey that you've had us on. I'm so glad that people have landed here. I'm so glad that we're seated together. I'm so glad, Lord. I'm so glad that we get to walk together, Lord. Lord, this has been a rich season that we've been in, Lord, walking together as brothers and sisters, Lord. Not only in this local assembly, but across the region and across this Ottawa region, Lord, we've gotten to walk together, and the body of Christ has been getting stronger and more loyal and more committed and more beautiful even, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, bless the marriages in this place, Lord. And Lord, where we're broken, where our marriages are broken, or where we're broken people, Jesus, we thank you that you manifest yourself in brokenness to bring healing. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd walk among us today, Lord. Walk among us and bring the healing that we need in every area of our lives, Lord. Lord, there's no love. I told Valerie the other day, like, the human love, it's not, it just can't compare. As beautiful as marriage can be, nothing compares with your love, Jesus. Nothing compares with the love that you have for your bride. Thank you, Jesus.